themes amongst every region. We keep hearing, I tend to agree with Randy, that with challenges certainly come opportunities. So I'm going to try to summarize and briefly touch back on the comments. A lot of them, again, you've heard with every region. And then I'm going to move into some efforts that we're doing as cotton specialists to hopefully address some of those challenges and look at them on a regional basis. Okay, the challenges. Acreage in 2008. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with acres. I think it's pretty clear that they're going to go down. Most estimates are that they're not going to go down as much as 2007. So that is a challenge in 2008 for cotton, but there's also some bright spots in that. Input cost increasing. Very little control over this. So we have to kind of move on from it. One is fertilizer. We've heard over and over, and every year producers have to run their budgets to decide if what crop they can plant that will pencil out for them based on those fertilizer costs. Fuel costs are up. Again, that's an obvious, something we really can't do much about. If we could do much about, we probably wouldn't be sitting out here today. Labor costs, that's been talked about. Labor costs are getting more expensive. Commodity prices, that's a challenge for cotton. It's been mentioned several times today. Wheat and beans will be the issue this year. It's just amazing to see the prices that producers are able to capture right now with wheat and beans. Corn was certainly our biggest issue in most every region this past year. And one of the bigger challenges for cotton is that cotton has stayed down. It's not followed that trend in 2007. Plant bug, stink bug control, that's been a real challenge, especially in the lower Mid-South region, something we haven't had a lot of information on. A lot of that's being worked on right now. These are pests that I learned about, and when I learned about them, they were secondary pests. But with boll weevil eradication and reduced sprays for boll worm and budworm complex and pinky, depending on where you are, we're starting to see the plant bug, stink bug show up in heavier populations. Corn acres also contributed to that. Herbicide resistance has been mentioned several times today. The one that's on the radar right now is Palmer amaranth, but there are plenty more that have come through in certain areas, and we expect that they will spread. One of them Chris mentioned is horseweed, and that's been a real problem, a real issue in certain parts of the country. Water, drought, you've heard about that. I talked with specialists this summer, and Keith Edmiston was more concerned about getting his fishing boat in the water where he was. And Robert and J.C. Banks in Texas, Oklahoma, they were in their boats checking their cotton in their Speedos this summer when I talked to them. So, a drought's nothing. It's the same story every year. Certain areas are bad, certain areas are good. Water rights, that's a real issue, especially in the West. Being from the Southeast, it's something I don't know a lot about, but I read a lot about in the farm press, and that is a serious issue considering the fight against the urban areas for water rights. Okay, opportunities. One of the things that we've seen kind of across the belt is that the genetics, and I'm specifically talking about the season-long herbicide technologies, it appears the yields are increasing, and they've caught up with the technology, the genetics have caught up with the technology at this point. Being in Virginia, and I'll speak specifically for there, we spent a couple years where it looked like the flex varieties were behind with respect to yield. This year, many of them moved up in our variety trials, and I've also noticed across the belt that many of them have moved up across the belt. So that's encouraging. Many new technologies in the pipeline. A lot of these won't affect us in the upcoming year, but it is exciting to see many companies working on many new traits that are going to help us, and that's going to go back to a lot of issues, one of the bigger ones being herbicide tolerant and resistant species of weeds. We're going to have better ways to control those weeds. We hear a lot about nitrogen use efficiency, water use efficiency. These are all very exciting technologies. Module building pickers, that was brought up. That's hopefully going to be a great way to reduce labor needs. It is a great way if it works on your farm and it's something you're already using. Hopefully we see that adoption across the belt and it works out well for producers. Again, the challenge of commodity prices has also been an opportunity. In 2007, we saw some great corn prices. So the corn, hopefully that put a lot of money in producers' pockets. And it did, in many cases, beat cotton on the profitability. This year, it's wheat and beans. It's great to see some commodities that American producers can make money on right now. Cotton futures, we are reducing carryover stocks. Unfortunately, we can keep cotton a lot longer than we can keep many of these grains, so it takes a little bit more time. And futures have edged up here recently. Again, if I knew what they were going to do, I probably wouldn't be sitting up here today. So hopefully we continue to see that trend, continue to see this go up, the price of cotton. Again, less acreage reduction in 2008 relative to 2007. I think that's a positive. It's a turn in the right direction for cotton. With the acreage reduction last year, we certainly should have 30 to 40% less wear on our cotton equipment. So we've got better equipment coming into this season. Tractors, pickers, gens. And one of the things we probably don't think about quite as much is that we have better recommendations. We're dealing with these issues, plant bug, stink bug, a lot of work. And a lot of efforts have been put in across the belt to deal with this issue of plant bug, stink bug. It's a very, some of you who sat in on the, there was a symposium yesterday, there's a lot of difficulties in developing thresholds for these. There's also a lot of difficulties in sampling for them. But they are being worked on, and I'm 100% confident that our recommendations in 08 will be better than they were in 07. And resistant weed species. Again, a lot of folks that are dealing with this, they have improved their recommendations. We're learning more about it. We have new technologies to deal with this. So hopefully we see that continuing to improve. But I'm 100% certain our recommendations have improved. Now I'm going to move in and talk about a group that was started to start addressing some of the concerns across the belt. And this is the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group. And I'm just going to tell you what it is. The results of this group are going to be presented later. Well, we have 15 or 16, probably now, about 8 cotton specialists with some recent changes. We have cotton specialists working across the U.S., though. And these are some of the universities that they're represented at. I'm going to move forward. I know this is too tough for you to see. Most of you know your cotton specialist in your region. We get together numerous times each year, and they're typically in organizational roles for the cotton efforts in each state. We try to make extension and research seamless. We try to take research, work with entomologists, nematologists, whoever they may be, and move that into an extension into extension recommendations. Again, we are a cohesive group. We meet a lot. We know a lot. Most of us know each other's families. And so we saw this as a clear fit for collaborative research across the belt. The goal in this working group was to stay on top of emerging products, technologies, and issues across the cotton belt and to implement these across the cotton belt. We wanted to strengthen our ability to make recommendations. We wanted to find out where products were working, where they might not be as good of a fit. And we were all doing this. We were all doing similar protocols, working with similar products, but there was no consistency across the belt. So that's how we arrived at a decision to pursue this. In 2007, all of our cotton specialists across the country did this with no funding. So I thought that was pretty impressive that that folks felt it was such a need to do that. In 2008, we're going to be starting off with a Cotton Incorporated partnership. They've agreed to support some of these efforts that we're doing, so we're excited to have funding to do the research that we're doing. We split this up again into 5 different regions: the Upper Southeast, Lower Southeast, Mid-South, Southwest, and West. And we had different varieties for each of these regions for obvious reasons. And we plan to pull the data, when we get data on a product, we plan to pull that across the U.S., then look at it by region, and then look at it by state, and seeing what common denominators might we might be able to pull out of the data. So protocol one, we have an app planning insecticide, nematicide product evaluation. With a lot of seed treatments coming on the market, we wanted to get a look at these and look at the agronomics, look at the effects, the agronomic impacts of these products. Here our treatments are, the initial treatments are Avicta Complete Pack, Aris, Timic, Cruiser Dynasty, and of course an untreated. And within each of these, we split each of these into an ornithine spray from the 1-4 leaf stage and a no ornithine spray. So we wanted to get, that was the first protocol we wanted to get a look at. The varieties we planted, and this will be the same for both protocols, the Upper Southeast Delta Pine 117 B2RF, Lower Southeast 555, Phytogen 485 in the Mid-South, Fibromax 63 in the Southwest, and Delta Pine 164 in the West. The second protocol, we wanted to look at a plant growth regulator product comparison. We've had a lot of these come on the market in the past 5 years, and we wanted to look at them across the belt and again see where one product might work better or worse than another product, make these determinations so we can strengthen our recommendations. Here you can see we're looking at Mepex, it's just Mepiquat chloride, Stance, new formulation, Mepiquat chloride and cyclanilid. We have Mepiquat pentaborate, Pentia, and then we just have a straight induced treatment here. We also have Mepex Gen out. I want to leave that one out. Mepiquat chloride with cytokinin, or aconitin. And of course we have our untreated. So again, I'm not going to go into the results. These, again, are the same varieties. These will be presented at 10:30 and 10:50 in Washington B. The first one, agronomic impact of Infura insecticide nematicide products, is going to be presented by Tom Barber from the University of Arkansas. The second one, the efficacy and agronomic impacts of commercially available plant growth regulators, will be presented by Darren Dodds with Mississippi State University. So that's what I had, and I thank you. And I, again, I want to reiterate what Randy said. With challenges, every year come opportunities.